Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this meeting of the City of Sydney Local Planning Panel, and thanks everyone for attending. I believe we have some town planning students in the upper gallery, and welcome to you as well. Firstly, before I start, I would like to acknowledge that we are meeting on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and pay my respects to their elders past and present. Also, the planning panel acknowledges the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who reside in this area. Meeting today is to consider two development applications, and they're listed on the agenda. Panel members tonight are myself, Richard Pearson as Chair, Professor Helen Lockhead and Sean Carter as independent expert members, and community representative Amelia Thorpe. I welcome everyone tonight, and please be assured the panel will be making its decisions based on the planning merits of each application and following consideration of views expressed in submissions and by people who address the panel tonight. Determinations and any relevant decision of the panel will be by a majority of votes of members present and entitled to vote. If votes are tied, the Chair will have a casting vote. I'll also mention, as an important transparency measure, the reasons for our decisions will be recorded in the minutes as part of the decision. Where or if we go against the officer's recommendation, the panel will state its reasons. In terms of public presentations, and we do have a couple of people registered to speak tonight, the format for tonight is that following the declaration of any conflicts of interest by panel members, the manager of planning assessments will provide an overview of each development application under consideration, key issues raised, and the recommendations of council staff. We will then hear from members of the public who have registered to speak, followed by the applicant and or applicant's representatives who may like to address issues raised by members of the public, if indeed that is relevant. There is a 3-minute time limit for each speaker, a warning bell at 2 minutes, and please cover your major points within that time. You don't need to cover all your points. The panel is well aware of submissions made on these applications. Just the main points you'd like the panel to consider. I do ask that each speaker be heard in silence while they're addressing the panel, and courtesy and respect be observed throughout the meeting. Please ensure no personal criticisms of people, including council staff, that would not be tolerated by the panel. We may ask questions of speakers to clarify our understanding of what is being said. I will mention, if you are registered to speak, your address will be recorded, as are all deliberations in this panel, and uploaded to the City of Sydney website. The decisions made at the panel meeting and audio recording will be available on the council website as soon as practicable following the meeting and generally within 3 business days. Please note no recording or filming of the meeting otherwise. After we hear from speakers, the panel will consider and make its decision on each application in public. The panel has the ability to adjourn to deliberate if necessary, or we may make our decision without the need to adjourn. If we did consider further information was necessary, the panel could defer our decision for a later date, but I think that's unlikely tonight. So with that preliminary discussion or preliminary points, I will ask if we have any declarations of interest from panel members present tonight. Okay, nor from me, so no conflicts of interest recorded. I will confirm the minutes of the meeting on the 28th of March. I think only myself and Helen were present at that meeting, but I think the panel just needs to note that those minutes have been loaded to the city website and are available for public viewing. I don't believe there are any matters arising from the minutes. That takes us to item 4 on the agenda, which is the development application at 98 to 106 Kippack Street, Surry Hills. And I'm going to ask Bill Mackay to...
Thank you, Chair. So this is an application for a development at 98 to 106 Kippack Street in Surry Hills. It seeks consent for the demolition of the buildings on site, construction of a 6-storey mixed-use building containing a basement car parking, retail tenancies on the ground floor, 27 apartments and rooftop communal open space. The application is recommended for approval subject to conditions. The application was notified in March and April of last year. 425 owners and occupiers were notified and two submissions were received. The submissions related to the height and scale and bulk of the building, compliance with the apartment design guide, view loss and privacy impacts. So this is the site identified in red, and the sites identified in blue where the submissions came from. So one of them was the commercial building immediately opposite the site, and another from a building a bit further south. So this is the site. It has frontage to Waterloo Street, Kippack Street and Sophia Street. This is the existing buildings on the site, viewed from the corner of Kippack and Waterloo Street. This is a site view from Kippack Street, looking towards the east, and this from the corner of Waterloo and Sophia Streets. This is development immediately to the south of the site on Kippack Street, development southeast of the site on Kippack Street, and development to the east on Waterloo Street. The next set of slides show the floor plans and elevations of the building. So this is basement level 2. Basement level 1, vehicle entry to the basement is off Sophia Street. The ground level, showing the retail tenancies on Kippack Street and Waterloo Street. And then the upper levels, so there's typical levels 1 to 4 with apartments. The fifth floor level, and then the rooftop communal open space. This is the elevation of the building to Kippack Street, and the elevation to Waterloo Street, and the elevation to Sophia Street. And this is a photo montage of the proposed building viewed on the corner of Kippack and Waterloo Streets. This slide just shows some details of the materials and finishes of the building. The next set of slides address the compliance with the relevant controls. So in terms of the key development standards, there is a non-compliance with the 22-metre height limit. The building generally complies, but the central and western parts of the building exceed that 22 metres with a maximum overall height of 24.9 metres. The development complies with the 3.5 to 1 floor space ratio for the site. In terms of compliance with the DCP controls, it complies with the six-storey height control for the site. It complies with the dwelling mix requirements. In terms of the apartment design guide, it complies with the solar access, cross-ventilation controls. It doesn't comply with the deep soil planting controls. The building separation, there is a small non-compliance with a part of the development. It complies with the minimum apartment sizes. Applies with floor-to-ceiling heights, communal open space, and private open space. The issues are essentially the height non-compliance of the building, cross-ventilation, which has been addressed and is addressed by conditions of consent, building separation, deep soil and view loss. So in terms of the compliance with the height limit, this elevation shows the height, 22-metre height limit applied to the site. The levels change quite sharply across the site along both Kippack Street and Sophia Street. So the compliance is essentially restricted to that central portion of the building, which provides access to the rooftop communal space, and the western part of the uppermost floor, so the top part of that floor level. And this is the height compliance elevation on Sophia Street. So the non-compliance results from the lift and shade structures that provide access and amenity to the roof-level garden and the steep topography or and level changes across the site. There's not considered to be any significant amenity impacts resulting from that height non-compliance. In terms of cross-ventilation, the design has been amended since submitted to provide natural ventilation chimneys to single-aspect apartments. 70% of apartments now have cross ventilation as a condition recommended to make that 100% of apartments. So this diagram just shows how the chimneys provide that cross ventilation to their single aspect apartments. In terms of building separation, the building is considered to have an acceptable built form. It's built to the site boundaries at the ground level with some upper level setbacks. It maximises sunlight to the commercial buildings to the south and apartments within the development, and it will not result in any significant privacy impacts. In terms of deep soil, as I said, there is no deep soil proposed. There's no deep soil currently on the site. The existing buildings cover the whole of the site. It would be very difficult to provide at ground level given the constraints of the site and the changing significant changes in level across the site. And landscaping is provided at roof level to provide a communal amenity. In terms of view loss, this was raised as an issue in one of the submissions. Only the lower levels of neighbouring buildings to the east are affected. The view loss is considered acceptable when assessed against the court planning principles. So this diagram shows that part of the site that may impact on views from the building across Waterloo Street, where the submission came from. And this slide sort of gives an indication of the impact on those views. And that impact arises out of a compliant built form. So the views you see on this slide are from levels 2 and 3 of the building at 110-120 Kippack Street, immediately opposite. And this is from level 4. So the upper levels of the building aren't impacted. And that impact arises from that portion of the building which is compliant with the height limit. And there's a view from level 5. So level 5 and above, the views are essentially intact. That's level 6. So the application is recommended for approval, subject to conditions. Thank you.
We do have one speaker registered on this, which is Murray Donaldson on behalf of the applicant. If you would like to come forward, press your button, Murray, and address the panel.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Murray Donaldson. I'm a planning consultant for the applicant, the consultants Urbis. We support the assessment from the officers and the recommendations in terms of the conditions of consent and the addendum that's been tabled today. The applicants worked closely with the council officers in responding to the assessment, including the submission of amended plans through the assessment process. The proposal is compliant with the majority of planning controls, with the exception of the height of development standard and a number of other DCP controls, which have been summarised for you just now. So just touching on the height on compliance, and then I'll conclude. The height non-compliance is 2.9 metres with a 13% non-compliance. It occurs on the western and central portions of the development as a cause by one of the apartments at level 5, the clear glass balustrades, the roof level, common open space, the lift overrun and the natural ventilation chimneys, which will be below the overall maximum height, the weather protection to the communal open space areas. The additional height is considered appropriate given the steeply sloping topography of the site and the context. The proposed height will not result in any significant overshadowing impacts on the local streets or surrounding properties or view loss, as has been demonstrated in the application and the officer's assessment report. The development has a height of 6 stories, which complies with the DCP, and that's consistent with the general height of buildings in the surrounding context. The additional height is generally concentrated, the central and western portions of the site, and the parapet height is between 17 and 21 metres in height. So the perceived height of the building from the street will be of a compliant building with those upper level, those structures at the top level set back. The developer provides a suitable height transition from to the heritage conservation area to the northeast of the site. So I'd like to offer Again, our support for the assessment report, and the architect Liam Hancock and myself will be available to answer any questions or comments.
Does the panel have any questions for Mr. Donaldson? No? All good, thanks, Murray. So I suppose it's probably worth just running through the recommended amendment to the conditions for this. Graham, did you want to do that?
Proponents aware that the relevant two suggests that we amend condition 2A, and that is to provide some clarity around the treatment of the balustrades, as noted, so that they are solid metal panels with a vertical profile to match cladding CL2 on the relevant elevations that that legend applies to. So basically it's privacy and the proper balustrade treatment.
Anyone got any questions of Graham? No questions. So the officer recommendation is to support the height variation proposed and to approve the application subject to conditions specified and as amended by the relevant two. I'm happy to move that recommendation. All in favour, say aye. Aye. Carried unanimously. Thank you, everybody, for that. We move now to item 5 on the agenda, which is development application 444 to 450 Gardeners Road, Alexandria. And again, I'll ask Bill Mackay to run through the application, if you could. Thanks.
Thank you. So this application seeks consent for a development at 444 to 450 Gardeners Road in Alexandria. It involves the demolition of the existing warehouses on the site and construction of a six-storey shop-top housing development. It includes basement car parking for 89 vehicles, 7 commercial tenancies and 94 apartments. The application also involves a planning agreement for road widening on Gardeners Road. The application is recommended for deferred commencement approval subject to conditions. The application was notified in March and April of last year, and then again an amended scheme in November and December of 2017. 243 owners and occupiers were notified, 6 submissions were received. The submissions related to building height and setbacks to Birmingham Street, rooftop plant, overshadowing, loss of privacy, a lack of car parking, and traffic impacts on Birmingham Street. So this is the site identified in red. It has frontage to both Birmingham Street to the north, Gardeners Road to the south, and the submissions came from the residential buildings immediately adjacent to the east and west. So this is the subject site. As I said, it's got a frontage to Birmingham Street to the north and Gardeners Road to the west, and it's just to the Gardeners Road to the south, and it's just to the west of Gardeners Road junction with Botany Round. This is a view of the site from Gardeners Road and Botany Round. A view from Gardeners Road. Another view. And this is the adjacent residential development at 456 to 458 Gardeners Road. This is a view of the site from Birmingham Street. So the Birmingham Street frontage has a building on part of the frontage and then is open for the remainder. And this is a relatively new residential flat building adjacent at 29 to 33 Birmingham Street. This is a view of 41 Birmingham Street on the western side of the development. In terms of background, the design of this development has changed significantly since originally proposed. So there's a new site layout, resolved ground plane, increased solar access from 38% of the original scheme to 85%, and increased cross ventilation from 21% to 77%. So this slide shows the original ground floor plan and the amended ground floor plan. The original building was an S shape And the amended proposal is in the form of two buildings running parallel to Birmingham Street and Gardiners Road. So this is a sort of typical floor plan of the original on the left and the amended building form on the right. So in terms of the proposal, this is a basement level, car parking, ground floor plan. Access to the basement is off Birmingham Street. So you have two buildings parallel to Birmingham Street and Gardiners Road, commercial tenancies on the ground floor, and then a communal landscaped area in between. Then above that you have apartments. So this is a plan for levels 1 to 3, levels 4 to 5, and then a roof plan, and there is a rooftop communal open space also. There's a Gardiners Road elevation, a Birmingham Street elevation, and a photo montage of the Gardiners Road building. That's the Gardiners Road from a different viewpoint, slightly to the east, and this is a photo montage of the Birmingham Street building. So in terms of compliance with the controls, there is a non-compliance with the 22-metre height limit. The building does have a maximum height of 25 metres to the top of the lift overrun and 22.43 metres to the parapet of the building. And obviously the lift provides access to that rooftop communal space. It complies with the maximum 2-to-1 floor space ratio. It complies with the car parking control. In terms of the DCP and the apartment design guide, it complies with the six-storey control in the DCP. It has 85% solar access, 77% cross ventilation to Birmingham, the Birmingham Street building, 72% to the Gardiners Road building. In terms of natural ventilation, it has 100% compliance when you factor in the use of the solar chimneys, which is required to address noise on the Gardiners Road building. Complies with the minimum 25% of site area communal open space, and it complies with deep soil planting. So the issues are the height non-compliance, the provision of natural ventilation whilst addressing noise from Gardiners Road, overshadowing impacts, and the planning agreement. So the height non-compliance results from the lift overrun and structures which service the rooftop communal space. The majority of the building is under the height limit, and there's no significant additional amenity impacts resulting from non-compliance. So this slide shows the that part of the building which is over the 22-metre height limit. In terms of natural ventilation, there was an issue with providing natural ventilation whilst addressing noise from Gardiners Road. So solar chimneys to bedrooms fronting Gardiners Road have been provided. The design has been peer-reviewed by a sustainable building consultant on behalf of council, and there is some further design resolution required, and that's covered off in the deferred commencement conditions of consent. So as a basic concept, it's considered acceptable, just some design refinement. So this plan shows the location of the solar chimneys within the apartments, and that's basically to provide ventilation to those parts of the apartment fronting onto Gardiners Road. In terms of overshadowing, there is an impact on the residential development at 456 to 458 Gardiners Road. The solar access is reduced from 77% of apartments to 54%. That's six apartments receiving 2 hours at midwinter. And the number of apartments that won't get any sun is increased from 15% to 46%. The impacts are essentially on levels 1 and 2 within that building, so the lower levels, north-facing levels of that building, with levels 3 to 5 maintaining 2 hours. The overshadowing primarily results from the building at 41 Birmingham Street, and any development to that portion of the site is going to have some impact on those lower levels of that apartment building. The six-storey height and the built form is essentially consistent with the controls, the non-compliance with the height limit on that building doesn't have any additional overshadowing impacts. So this slide shows the relationship between the Birmingham Street building as proposed and 456 to 458 Gardiners Road, which is affected by overshadowing. The existing building on that portion of the site is a two-storey commercial building on part of the frontage and then nothing on the remainder. So this shows a midday view, sun's eye view of the development and the adjoining developments. In terms of the planning agreement, the controls identify a strip of land along the Gardiners Road frontage as an SP2 zoned land, which is to be provided for a road. So the planning agreement deals with the dedication of that land to council for the purpose of that road widening. Now, that has been on exhibition, submissions received. I understand the deferred commencement conditions require that to be executed prior to the consent becoming active. So this plan just shows the land that is to be dedicated, so it's just a strip across the frontage of Gardiners Road. So the application recommended for deferred commencement approval, that the VPA is executed, registered on title, and the relevant bank guarantee is submitted, and that the there is further design resolution of the detail of that solar chimney arrangement to provide adequate ventilation whilst addressing noise from Gardiners Road. Thank you.
Bill? So we have one registered speaker, again, on behalf of the applicant. That is Andrew Harvey. Andrew, if you would like to come forward and press the button and address the panel, thank you very much.
Thank you. As a my name is Andrew Harvey. I'm a director of planning at Urbis and the applicant's town planning consultant for the project. Thank you, Bill, for your briefing. I think that probably speaks to a lot of the issues quite well. We were simply registered to speak to be available if there were questions or any submissions or objectors here. But the applicant really did want us to, I guess, highlight a few brief comments to the panel. This is their first project in Sydney. They're a Melbourne-based developer, and I think in many ways this application has been a bit of a learning process for them in design quality and working very closely with Council's urban design team. So this application was lodged about 12 months ago. It's not a simple site. It has a range of different constraints, particularly being on a busy road. And it's required a really close level of consultation with Council's designers and it's been through quite a lot of, evolution of that scheme. So on reflection, I think we had a very different view to how this site could work in terms of a built form outcome, but I think we're pretty comfortable and happy with where we've got to, and we just really wanted to thank Council for hopefully finally getting here and being able to proceed and get this happening. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Any questions for Andrew? No questions. I've just got a quick one, Andrew, which is on affordable housing, and there's a $3.5 million contribution. Did the developer give any consideration to providing the units on site as opposed to making a financial contribution? I know either option is available to you.
My understanding is the payment of the contribution was probably what they understood is generally normal in these circumstances, and I'm not aware of too many circumstances where it's actually provided on site, but I would need to clarify that. I don't think we've thought too much beyond that. Yeah.
It's an interest of mine, in particular affordable housing, given Sydney's dire situation. So it's fantastic that there is a financial contribution being made to... As a result of the development, you have the choice either way.
My only comment on that from other experiences is depending on the scale and type of and how many apartments you provide as part of this development, you know, that usually has to be in agreement with an affordable housing provider, and that can often be tricky with this scale.
Thanks very much. Okay. Look, if again, I think we've got a relevant two on this. There's been some variation to the conditions, so it would be good if Mr. Yarn could outline that. Sorry.
Thank you, through the Chair. So the proposal is to vary condition 3H, or to add a condition 3H, to deal with the abutment and the alignment of the side walls of the existing buildings. That's a very important consideration when there are existing buildings developed to the boundary, and often they are not a perfect match. So there's a condition there suggesting an appropriate treatment to ameliorate that mismatch. And there are two other conditions relating to the property at 684 Botany Road, and that is that when the existing buildings are demolished and the new buildings are erected, set back from that road, there will be an exposed wall, and there will be potentially exposed walls in various positions from that heritage building. So we've created a condition which is to seek the cooperation of that owner to treat that building, and we might wanted to make sure that the applicant has got the authority by this by the consent to carry out works, appropriate works, provided permission has been achieved, and that rendering work is ultimately detailed and would be brought back to our consideration. So our recommendation is that you accept those amendments.
Were there any questions on the amended conditions? In that case, I'll move the proposal to do two things, to support the height variation proposed and also to approve the development subject to the conditions proposed in the officer's report and as amended by the circulated relevant two. All in favour say aye. Aye. Carried unanimously. So thanks everybody for attending tonight. Thank you to council staff and other panel members. That concludes the meeting, and we will see you at the next meeting in May. Thank you very much.